Hey guys, and welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Youssef, and I'm here with my co-host Adam.
Hey guys, hope you're doing better than Barca is playing at the moment. As always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, at Barca Breakdown. Click that subscribe or follow button on iTunes and Spotify, and if you can, leave us a review on iTunes. Well, we barely squeaked away with the victory against La Real today. You know, we had drew them 2-2 at Anoeta before the Clásico in December. This time we played them after the Clásico here in March. You know, I think there were two pieces of news that came up this week that were kind of both very bad and didn't give me a great feeling before this game. The first was that Arthur got hurt. It looks like he's going to be out for about 2 weeks. Lord help us. We do definitely need him back for that Champions League game against Napoli that's coming up in 2 weeks. So hopefully he'll get better. And then the other big narrative of the week was that, you know, our assistant coach, Eder Sarabia, was, you know, they read his lips during the Clásico when he was on the bench and saw that he was saying some pretty negative things about our play. You know, overall, my impression was I was very surprised to see the comments from Sarabia get so much negative attention. I mean, I think all of us watching the game, and, you know, this was shown in our podcast after the game, were pretty upset with the way Barca were playing and thought that we didn't play nearly to our level that we should in El Clásico. It was pretty funny that today at the Camp Nou, the fans were chanting Sarabia's name. So clearly it looks like the fans are on the side of Sarabia and appreciate his passion and that he wanted the team to do better. Perhaps a little too derogatory about players, but at the same time, I think the other narrative is that the players are being a little bit soft and, you know, it seems like anytime they get criticism, they kind of form a shell and they don't, you know, go out there and prove themselves. And then you see, like, today when, you know, Alba scored that second offside goal, he's, like, cupping his ears to show that, you know, they're putting away all the negative thoughts. But overall, just seems that the players don't ever come out and perform when they're criticized. It seems like they go to the media and they leak how they're not happy. You know, what I want to see is them come out and play, right? This is after we lost a bad Clásico and the team looked like doo-doo, right? What were your thoughts on the whole Sarabia situation, Yuse?
Well, I think there's, you know, a little bit of both sides on the coin for me. One, I feel like it's good for the coaching staff to come out and kind of be a little bit critical on the on-pitch performance, because at the same time, you know, babying them and just being like, oh, you know, it's okay, is kind of in its own a loop of, you know, not progressive thought or increased performance. So I think it is good that he's being critical of them and, you know, getting upset at our, because that game, that performance was terrible. So we can't just let something like that slide by, right? Yeah. On the other hand, I'm sure some of the things he was saying were not constructive criticism, right? So at the same time, you know, you got to be smart about the criticism. I understand he was very passionate at the moment. It was a very heated moment, or I guess heated
game,
whole 90 minutes, yeah. But at the same time, from what I read, Setien said that he has issues containing himself. So I think he needs to work on that, and that came out in Setien's apology to everybody.
Yeah, but speaking about the apology, but, I mean, it just seems so weak to me that the coach has to come out and apologize for his assistant coach being upset after that performance. I mean, it was embarrassing, especially that second half when, you know, we kind of not beating a dead horse here, but Real Madrid just wanted it way more. And so when the team comes out and just doesn't have that passion, I want the coach to be on their backside yelling, getting upset. Like I said, maybe derogatory terms addressed at specific players. But I don't know, for the coach having to come out and say he apologized to the team for it does seem like a little thick to me. And just, you know, I think it plays into this whole narrative that has been circling the club for 2.5 years now, where it's just a bunch of spoiled brats who, you know, kind of want their way. We have some older players who aren't playing up to their normal standards, and they're just kind of protected because of their performances, you know, throughout history. So obviously we have to respect Busquets, Piqué, Messi, of course, and Jordi Alba, other players who've been with the team for a long time. But I mean, I do have to say that the narrative that the team is just a bunch of entitled players is starting to, you know, have more salience in my mind as a legitimate cause for concern. But getting into this game against La Real, like we said, Arthur was hurt, so our front three was Braithwaite, Messi, and Griezmann, which, as you know, at the end of our last podcast, we were all pretty excited to see Braithwaite play with Messi and start a game. I, you know, perhaps wanted to see Fati up there, especially when, as we'll break down, Griezmann's performance was lacking yet again offensively. And then in the midfield, we had Frankie de Jong, Busquets, and Rakitic. And in the back line, we had Alba, Lenglet, Piqué, and Semedo. So, you know, with Arthur hurt, what did you think about the midfield, that front three? I think the back line was pretty standard because we seemed to be giving Umtiti some rest. What were your thoughts on the lineup?
Well, to start with Braithwaite starting, I was excited for one. From the performances we had him before, he seemed like he was quick, able to create some offensive space, passing. Of course, he had those two assists in the game that he got subbed into. So I was excited for that, and I was, you know, seeing how he would link up for at least 70 minutes with Messi and Griezmann. And then I thought the midfield, we kind of just lacked lacked options for the midfield. You know, instead of Rakitic, we could have played Vidal. Was that the decision I thought that should have happened? Probably, because, you know, Rakitic overall hasn't been the opportune person for that position recently. And then the back line, I like Lenglet returning. As you know, and maybe the other Barca Breakdown fans know, I prefer Lenglet over Umtiti. Not to say I don't think Umtiti has been doing a good job, but I really do enjoy Lenglet's performance, so I was excited about
that. And Lenglet looked great today, man. I mean, I thought the Lenglet PK defense, they looked great. There were different times where they had key saves, especially Lenglet had one that, you know, we noticed in that second half.
Huge save.
I like Umtiti. I think a lot of times he can offer more passes from the back than, you know, maybe PK or Lenglet a lot of times, especially in this game we saw in the first half. PK would run up with the ball, and then he would just all of a sudden turn around and back pass it, which, you know, I didn't like, especially with this weird whole system that Setien, and I guess this is the first thing I want to talk about, because, you know, every game we've been noticing so far that there's a clear direction from Setien that he wants Stegen to hold on to the ball longer when he's going to distribute, which allows the defenders to kind of push up, and then he's hoping Stegen will be able to place, you know, a long pass that will, you know, break through the defense. But, you know, partially because Stegen's passing hasn't been on point like it has in the, you know, last few years.
Pretty bad, actually.
And, you know, so what happens is, okay, the long passes aren't working, and then every time it's just Frankie or Busquets basically runs up to receive the ball from Stegen, and then the defense knows exactly what we're doing. So, you know, I'm getting a little bit frustrated with our building out of the back and then with center backs who aren't trying to make incisive passes to get to the midfield or to the front three. Overall, our offensive buildup has been lacking.
Yeah, totally. I mean, to comment about, you said Frankie or Busquets coming back just to receive the ball, it's just really killing our offensive play. It's not, and Stegen not making these passes very precisely is just causing us to either lose possession of the ball, and then we have to deal with, you know, in today's game, Real Sociedad just, you know, pressing on us and having too many open opportunities to shoot on us. And I think that, you know, it's really bad for our defense. It gets me anxious, gets me nervous during some of this game. We can't let these opportunities just easily get away from us. It's just poor play on our part and poor strategy.
True.
But
I think that is one element that, you know, kind of made me upset. I also think, you know, it's apparent to all of us, Messi's not in his best form. There were a few chances that he could have put away in the first half and early in the second half. He obviously converted a crucial penalty that won us the game, which I was excited about. And in that second half, he seemed to turn it on a bit more and be more forceful with his presence in the game. I, you know, do wonder, as it looks like a lot of fans are wondering, if Messi has an injury right now that we don't know about. And, you know, something I tweeted about earlier this week that's concerning is that we just haven't been able to give Messi a rest, really, under Setien. I'd need to go back and check every lineup we've had, but off the top of my head, the only, like, game I really remember Messi not starting or playing the full 90 was against Ibiza, which was a, you know, Copa del Rey game against the Segunda team. So I don't know if that really counts that much, but, you know, we're stuck in this situation here where Messi has to play every game. He looks tired and fatigued and possibly injured, and it's not a great recipe for success. I think, like we spoke about in that Clasico podcast, every time Messi isn't on 100% and scoring or assisting, the team just really struggles. I don't know who else on this team is going to score, even though Braithwaite, like you discussed, came out of the box really strong and had a great performance early on. He did seem to fade a little bit into the game as the time went on. And then Griezmann, man, I just don't know what to say. I mean, we try to support Griezmann this whole season, but, you know, it's getting to that crucial point of the year where we really need goals from someone besides Messi with Suarez and Dembele hurt. And, you know, if we're going to really try and challenge for one title, I don't even really, like I've been saying the whole season, want to talk about the Champions League, because if we go up against Bayern or City or Liverpool with a performance like today, we're going to get smoked. But even if we want to win the league, Antoine Griezmann needs to find his goal-scoring boots and start to, you know, perform like the player that his price tag says he should be.
Even if he's not scoring, you know, just being involved on the ball is probably one of the most important improvements I want to see. Like today's game, he just didn't seem very included. I don't know what it is. Like now he's on the right side. We are more excited about that because we know him being on the left side seems to really not be that great. But today just didn't seem like he was connecting with anybody necessarily. There were a few opportunities that he had where he had one touch passes with people, but it just seems like, you know, his abilities are not up to par, or his, you know, his Atletico abilities that we've seen are really not up to par on Barcelona right now. We really need to see goals from him, because like you said, our only opportunities in open gameplay that we've been scoring is really only coming from Messi, whether he's assisting or scoring. Today's game is really one of those moments where, yeah, we squeaked 3 points out, but what is really going on the pitch is really important. If we're not scoring from open play, how are we going to, you know, win any trophies? I mean, true. I'm not saying like...
And you discussed Griezmann there. What do you think about Messi? Do you think he's hurt? How do you think we can try and rest him? Oh. What do you think about that aspect?
I do think we need to rest him. He does seem to be overplayed, but in terms of being injured, I don't know. I think his energy today seemed like he was pretty on point in terms of, I think he was looked pretty fast. He seemed to be more in control of the ball, although his touching or his finishing was definitely not there. But as you recall, in the first half when that he was competing for the ball on the sideline, he kicks the ball. He had that great turn, almost scored on that as well. But that doesn't make me think he has an injury. He looked like he was aggressive. He didn't look like he was in discomfort. After he scored that penalty, he seemed pretty ecstatic. He jumped in the air.
True, but I think a lot of people think, and I'm starting to wonder myself, is that, you know, there was that video when he was walking into the Bernabeu off the bus where he looked like he was limping a bit, although some people were trying to chalk that up to a sleepy leg from sitting. And then, you know, there have been some pre-match videos where it shows Messi kind of like rubbing out his pubic area, that pubalgia that he had last year. And so, you know, it's pretty speculative. And of course, the team, I think, would want to obscure the issue with such a lack of depth in the squad and with the board facing so much pressure. But, you know, I think there is something to him being just too fatigued. Part of that tweet I mentioned before that I sent out this week was that, you know, a good part of why he was so lethal last season and so critical during the spring was because he got a full like 4 to 5 weeks off when he broke his arm in October of last year. And he hasn't really had that chance to kind of rest and, you know, have a period of time where he can just rest his legs and get back strong. And then, you know, with him having to create the offense, with him having to score all the goals, just isn't a recipe for success for a guy who's 32 and has been playing so much in the last few years with all these Copa Americas and World Cups that take up his summers as well. And so, you know, I hope we can try and rest him a game. I mean, it would be critical if Real Madrid can drop some points tomorrow against Betis. You know, even though we're only, you know, actually right now we're technically in the lead in La Liga, we do need Real to drop some points. And, you know, if they can and we can think that we can rest Messi and give him some rest, that would be very good. I mean, I think one other thing that Setien and this game, you know, has been bothering me is that we really haven't seen him put in a lot of ambitious subs early on, right? Again, in this game, it was the 70th minute and we were saying, where are the subs? Which, you know, in some sense in this game, I understand because, okay, our first half, we had some good chances. There were some chances that Real Sociedad had, La Real, where they could have scored, but thankfully Stegen, Piqué, Lenglet had a good defensive outing. And then in that start of the second half, we looked pretty good. So, you know, that first 20 minutes there, I thought we looked like we might score. And I can understand somewhat why we might not put in a sub. But overall, the last few games, I've just noticed Setien is not putting in subs early enough for my liking. And the first sub you put in, Vidal, really looked not great today. Again, there are certain games where Vidal's presence really adds another level for the team, but I didn't think that today's game was it. When the game's really open and Real Sociedad are, you know, trying to score a goal and break on the counter, Vidal sometimes can, he can kind of clog up our counters itself, and he always seems to look to pass to Messi when we're on the break, which can slow the attack sometimes. Semedo was open for a few chances, Braithwaite, and then Fati when he came on. And so, you know, the first sub of Vidal didn't like that much. I think on the other side, though, you might be wondering, well, what other midfielders do we have to put in, right?
Ricky Pooch, you know, is probably our only other one that I would say that we had on the bench there. But it's kind of funny that you talk about how Vidal didn't do great, and I totally agree with you. But at the same time, we always talk about how Rakitic is having a poor performance, you know, not attributing to our offensive play. But today, I think it was the opposite, right? He took a couple shots that looked pretty good. He had some runs, offensive runs, that I thought looked great. There was one point he was open in the midfield running forward, and he made that pass to Braithwaite, and then Braithwaite tried to cut it in, or tried to pass, or shoot it in, I mean.
True. I mean, I think Rakitic overall, like you're saying, man, looked better than normal. I think if we're going to, you know, choose some players who looked good, and, you know, that's grading on a curve here because overall the team didn't look anywhere near they should for how good the players are. I thought Frankie De Jong had some bright moments. But he still doesn't seem like he's playing at that level that kind of everyone wants him to be, which is one of the best midfielders in the world. I think Semedo had a decent game attacking and defending. And then I thought Alba today, too, also showed some flashes of, you know, coming back and showing his speed. Definitely when he's been injured, that can cut down, you know, two things. One is, like, his actual physical speed and his, how warm he is in his legs since he's had leg issues. And then on the other side, confidence in terms of, okay, if I go all out on a sprint here, am I going to get re-injured? Today I thought he kind of played with some more characteristic speed and aggressiveness. But overall, right, like we've been saying, this was not a great performance. I mean, even though we almost won it 2-0, which got, you know, that last goal by Alba got taken off for a offside call, the scoreline definitely flatters us. We didn't perform anywhere near how we should.
But we've been saying that for a while now. I mean, I remember saying that a few pods ago, not when we lost against Real, but... We can't just keep playing these games and, you know, squeaking by these points, because at the end of the day, the only reason really we're in league with Real Madrid right now is because they messed up plenty of times as well, right? They dropped points that they shouldn't have dropped. If we're going to be contesting for this title, we can't just rely on Real Madrid either tying or losing a game, right? We have to come out. We have to score in open play. That way we kind of develop our form more as we go throughout, because it seems like the strategy that we have right now is not completely conducive to scoring a bunch of open play goals. Even though we have a lot of opportunities, those opportunities come up short. We show some bright moments in these games where we're having one touch passing that leads to a shot that, you know, almost is a shot on goal and should go in, but we're not finishing these shots, right?
True. I mean,
it's not enough open play.
In my opinion, man, it's not even that we're not finishing shots. It's like a lot of these shots aren't shots on goal. They're just shots that we sky into the air. That's kind of the most concerning is, like, I do enjoy that we're getting some opportunities to shoot, but how many of those shots were actually saved by the goalie? Not that many, right? Even Messi, he skied one over. You know, Braithwaite had early on in the game that nice attempt where he kind of ran loose and got the goalie to put a save on the ball. But, yeah, I mean, shots are nice, but we need to have more shots on goal as well. I mean, you know, because of rebounds, because of goalie mistakes, the more often we can get the goalie having to actually defend the ball rather than just, you know, oh, here's a shot, you know, cleared into the stands, the more chances we're going to have to pull out a convincing win.
Well, the more pressure you put on the goalie is really important too, right? Because I feel like we had, especially in the first half, we had some great pressure, especially from players like Braithwaite, who seemed to be offensively and defensively putting in effort. But as the game progressed, I thought our pressing abilities really died down. I feel like our energy levels are getting dipped through as we go. We don't have the stamina to keep up with such an aggressive gameplay.
True, and that goes into what people have been saying, and we have been saying about how the board hasn't done a good job of, you know, rejuvenating our squad with you know, mm-hmm. an offensive three that has a lot of depth to it. Of course, injuries are hard to account for, but, you know, that's the job of the club is to account for, you know, anything like this happening. And, you know, to your point about energy and confidence, I was just overall really not impressed by the team coming out. I mean, after that Clasico loss, after being, you know, somewhat embarrassed by that Mariano goal at the end of the game, I thought the team would come out here and try to take a decisive victory to show that, hey, you know, we messed up, but, you know, there's a lot of noise about the management, about the board. We're going to come out here and shut people up with our play and with our passion in front of the Camp Nou. And that really just did not happen. I mean, in like the 65th minute, 80th minute, there were just certain times where it seemed like players weren't kind of giving it their all and really pushing forward to score. It seemed like, I don't know, we were out of ideas or out of energy or just out of anything positive.
Totally. I mean, getting smacked in the face is one thing, but it's also, you know, how many times, how hard you get knocked down is how hard we come back up and fight, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you get knocked down. It's a lot of how do we bounce back from this, and are we doing a good job of bouncing back? I wouldn't say we are doing a great job. I mean, today's performance just kind of makes me feel up and down at the same time. It doesn't make me reassured for any further games coming up. I mean, next game we have Mallorca, but that's not like, I'm not worried about that game, but we have so many other games coming up that are
Napoli.
Very important.
I mean, Champions League is coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
Napoli's coming Wednesday, but the one after.
And we can't have a performance like today and go into the game against Napoli like that, right? We do have an away goal to, you know, boost us up a little bit, but what happens? They score one,
and then the team falls apart.
Exactly.
That's like the fear we always have as Barca fans, that PTSD from the last reign of Valverde. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's frustrating because I was hoping this game and then the Mallorca game would kind of give us a chance to get back into a balance and a rhythm so that we could at least, you know, make it on to the next round of the Champions League. Now without Arthur, I am certainly worried. I think we need to rest Messi for this Mallorca game, maybe put him on as a sub just because, you know, we need to give him a rest before we have to play the Champions League. Thankfully, it's at the Camp Nou, right? So we've had a few games, you know, Chelsea, I remember, I think we tied 1-1. We had a Man U draw in the last few years in the Champions League where, you know, the away leg hasn't gone how we want, but we come back home and, you know, are pretty decisive at home. So hoping for the same thing against Napoli. Any other thoughts about the La Real game before we go on to Mallorca predictions?
Overall, I just think our team needs to be a little more confident, a little more communicative, because I feel like on the pitch there were times, especially with someone like Braithwaite, that hasn't had enough gameplay with the other players, and it seemed like there was somewhat of a disconnect. I remember a moment when Messi even seemed to apologize for a pass that he should have given to Braithwaite maybe a little sooner. But those are just adjustment periods that we need as well with players like that we're implementing right now because of all the injuries we're having. But, you know, we can't account for these injuries and hopefully they don't affect us too much.
True.
That'll be my last.
I think speaking on your confidence point, the two people I want to see more confident are Griezmann and Setien. I think on Griezmann's case, I mean, just doesn't look like he's going to try and score too often. You know, there's some players who I think need to be more selfish and shoot the ball instead of, you know, crossing it across the goal face, because there aren't many times I can really think of this season or even last season where, you know, someone has really crossed it across the goal and someone's been there to receive it offensively. And so I think some shots might be a better use of our breakaways and chances with the goalie. And so, you know,
definitely.
I think that it means a lot for Griezmann. I think I need to see him try some more shots. I mean, you know, I even used to know Griezmann at Atletico and for France to take some shots outside of the box and, you know, score some curlers. I really haven't seen him try that at all in Barca, and I would like to see that. And then with Setien, I think he needs more confidence and belief in his own mindset for how we should play football and for how, you know, different players should plug in. I think that Ricky Puig needs to see some time with all these injuries, and I feel like Vidal is kind of the safe option that he puts in because he's afraid
Definitely.
Of getting criticism from the press or from the board. And, you know, we don't need to be, we need to be proactive, not reactionary, right? And so I would like to see Setien
Definitely.
Be more proactive and, you know, go all out there, right? I would rather see the team go all out and try to really take a game than and get a draw than, you know, just play so sheepish and then get a 1-0 victory.
Totally agree. I mean, We need more. I like your comment, honestly. We need more
balls.
True. That's a good way to put it. But we need to be less reactionary is what's very important here. But anyway, let's move forward. We're coming up to the Mallorca game. And, I believe so, yes.
And do you think we're going to start Messi or no?
I really hope not. I think it would be not very smart and strategic to start Messi. That's a game where I think we can have Fati, Griezmann, and even Braithwaite in and try something a little more experimenting because I don't think we're going to lose points to a team like Mallorca, and I think our team can easily handle them despite, you know, even all the negative things we're saying that we need to improve on. I don't think this is the time to play Messi, and I remember when we talked about Valverde resting some players in some of these games, and then I think Setien needs to do the same thing. Especially start using some players that we don't see as much, even see Puch a little bit, since our midfield seems to be depleted. But I don't think he'll start Messi. If he's smart, like I hope he is, he will not.
Okay. I think we'll see Messi as a sub. That's my hope. I mean, hopefully we get up 3-0 at halftime. We don't have to play him, but don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to squeak away with a 2-0 victory.
Okay. I'll go with a 3-0 just to boost our confidence, hopefully. But
sweet. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We did this one immediately after the game, so, you know, maybe not enough time to let us really process and digest, but here to make some content, get it out for you, even in these dark days. We want to make sure that, you know, the Barca community has more thoughts out there so we can discuss and figure out a good path forward. So thank you guys.
Thank you, guys. Please comment on some of our posts to tell us what you think about our commentary and, you know, give us any of your opinions. We would love to hear you guys' opinions. We want to discuss with you guys, you know, what we're saying versus what you think, whether you agree with us or disagree with us. Please just feel free, open, even direct message us if you'd like. Leave us a review if you want to make any comments on our, you know, how we talk about things, what you'd like to see, what you'd like to hear. So thank you, guys.
Peace. Hey, Barca fans, it's Adam back here. You know, as I was editing the podcast and getting ready to go live, when Yus went to work today, I did notice that there were a few comments from the team afterwards about the Sarabia situation. PK had said that, you know, it's normal that Sarabia reacts to a team that's doing bad, that the players like his character, and Alba said, Sarabia loves football, so what? He did not disrespect anyone. I would have done the same or worse. We are not upset with him. So, you know, we did make a comment about how we thought the team was being a little bit entitled, but it looks like the players have gone out to correct the record. So, you know, whether it was the fans or the media, or if there is some truth there that the players were upset, I did think it was necessary for us to come out and show you guys that the players did respond to those issues that came up this week with Sarabia and seem to be supporting him and enjoy the fact that he's passionate and, you know, cares about the team. Anyways, have a good weekend.